17. Allen. Baker. Barlow. Fightman. Blackburn. Blake. Bovee. Brown. Burkhart. Bird. Bird. Clausen. Clem. Connolly. Court. Crank. Dayton. Edwards. Eklund. Ayer. Flitner. Freeman. Furphy. Garou. Gray. Greer. Haley. Hallinan. Halverson. Henderson. Hunt. Jennings. Kinner. Kirkbride. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lone. Excused. Laux. McGuire. Madden. McKim. Miller. Nicholas. Northrup. Obermuller. Olson. Olson. Paxton. Pelkey. Pipirinen. Ponell. Salazar. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Sweeney. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker. Olson. Excused. We have 58 present, 2 excused.
Thank you, members. Joining us this morning to give the invocation is Rajan Zed, a Hindu cleric from Reno, Nevada, who has provided opening prayers to Congress and a variety of other state legislatures across the United States. So please help me welcome Mr. Zed, if you could all stand for the prayer.
I'll be reading from ancient Hindu scriptures in Sanskrit, then translate into English. Om Bhurbhu Vahasvaha Tat Savitur Varenayam Bhargo Devasyadimahi Diyo Yona Prachodayat. We meditate on the transcendental glory of the Deity Supreme, who is inside the heart of the earth, inside the life of the sky, and inside the soul of the heaven. May He stimulate and illuminate our minds. Asto ma sadgamaya, tamso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor mamratam gamaya. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Tasmada sakta statam karyam karma samachara. Asakto hyacharan karma parma panoti purusha. Karma neva hi samsiddhi mastita jankadya. Loka Sangraha Meva Pi Sampa Shankar Tumra Hasi. Strive constantly to serve the welfare of the world. By devotion to selfless, one attains the supreme goal of life. Do your work with the welfare of others always in mind. Om Saha Navabtu, Saha Nobunaktu, Saha Viryan Karva Bahai, Tejasvi Navaditamastu, Ma Vidvisa Bahai. May we be protected together, may we be nourished together. May we work together with great vigor. May our study be enlightening. May no obstacle arise between us. Samniva akuti samna hidyaniva samnam astu vomano yathava susahasti. United your resolve, united your hearts. May your spirits be at one, that you may long together dwell in unity and concord. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. Om. Thank you.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play it out!
Okay.
We're at that order of business of Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 2, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Guru and Representative Gray.
Our doctor of the day is Dr. Amy Shaw, and our nurse of the day is Sam Bass from right here in Cheyenne at Regional Medical Center. So welcome to the house. Members, today is our last day for our student Paige Osborne. And Paige, of course, is a senior at Cheyenne Central High School, Cheyenne Indian. And she particularly enjoyed Mustang Mondays, she told me, the last couple weeks. And she will be attending, of course, the University of Wyoming on a Hathaway scholarship in the fall. And she, of course, swims for the Lady Indians and is a member of the National Honor Society there at Cheyenne Central High School. And so, Paige, where are you? You're right. So, Paige, we really appreciate. Do you want a privilege of the floor? It's kind of a tradition. So we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you. May I have privilege?
Please proceed.
Okay. Good morning, representatives of the 64th. As all of you know, my name is Paige Osborne, also known as Paige the Page. Or as some of you have figured out, Pooh. Thank you, Representative Blake and Representative Brown. I'm sure all of you have seen me running around notes all over, whether appropriate or not. I have grown up here in the capital city my whole life and have always loved living in Wyoming. For most of my life, I grew up with my mom, dad, and my brother, who is 2 years younger than me. I attended St. Mary's Catholic School for most of my elementary years until I moved to Davis Elementary for my sixth grade year. I then attended McCormick Junior High School and am now finishing at Central High School. I have always challenged myself with courses and pushed for the best grades in school. I believe a lot of my strength and perseverance that has helped me to succeed academically has come from experiences that I endured at a transitional age. Watching my mother struggle with depression, anxiety, and alcoholism the first 2 years of my high school career has really helped me to see my future and pursue my goals. I have seen firsthand all of the effects it has had not only on her, but the rest of my family. Now, living with only men in my house has been a challenge, but also something that I have come to terms with. I always strive for the best, and that can be seen in my 4.0 GPA and the AP courses that I have taken. I have been the recipient of numerous highly competitive scholarships going into my college years. I think pushing myself through challenges has brought me this amazing opportunity to be speaking with you all today. When presented with this good fortune to work here, I was apprehensive at first. I was concerned about missing 2 weeks of class, not only, and I have never really enjoyed my classes in government history or politics. I have always been more math and science focused. However, I'm very delighted to have agreed to this opening because I have loved every second of it. This experience has opened my eyes to a more intriguing and fun side of government that I hadn't been able to find in a traditional classroom setting. Not many people get to be on the floor during session and see the side of government. I've been amazed to see and make the connections I've been able to make. I have also treasured getting to know a few of your generous and humorous personalities, which has made my experience 10 times more enjoyable. I greatly appreciate how comfortable you all have made me feel during my involvement in these 2 weeks. Now I feel more motivated to have an active role in my government and be a constituent at my young age. With great humility and gratitude, I thank you all. I will miss everyone and the relationships I have been able to build during my experience here.
Well, Paige, on behalf of the 64th, I have another little present for you, a little coin from the legislature. And I know with the pen that you got on the first day and, of course, that Pride and Excellence pen, it's just been really a pleasure to have you, and you've been really a real treat for the legislature. And so as we work all this process, it's really not about us old duffers. It's really about the future. And so the state of Wyoming is really just in such good hands. So we're so proud that you're going to be living over the hill in Laredice, attending the university. And I know you'll do great things. So we really appreciate your service, and we wish you all the best. So thank you very much. Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege.
Please proceed.
It has come to my knowledge we have a birthday boy in the house here. Mr. Chuck Gray, I believe it's his birthday. Am I correct, Chuck? Ah, buddy.
There we go. So we have the house choir. We have our leaders. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. We are at that order of business. Actually, we have another privilege. Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to call to the attention of, in the body that in your inbox today is a lapel pin in red to mark the National Wear Red Day for the American Heart Association. So wear it proud. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other privileges? I have a book. This book is actually 140 years old. It's from the territorial governor. I just wanted to share with members just one little passage this morning, but it's from Governor Moonlight of the territory. His report to the Secretary of Interior, 1887, in Washington. And I've tabbed a bunch of these, but this one I want to read just a quick paragraph to you. He says, "What Wyoming is good for." We mentioned, this is the governor's words, Governor Moonlight. "We mentioned last week that one of the propositions which the stock monopolists and their organs are trying to maintain and send out to the world is that, quote, Wyoming is good for nothing but stock raising," end quote. A few years ago, it was not supposed to be good for even that. And it took the Sentinel 10 years of hard work to convince even our own people that it was good grazing country. Not now to go to work to prove that this territory is the richest country on earth just for its mineral wealth, its iron and coal, its gold and silver, its soda and marble, etc. We propose again to try to show that it offers every inducement to poor men to make homes for themselves and families. And in support of this proposition, we are going to give facts and figures, cite instances, and give names, as we did last week, so that it can be seen and refuted if we make any misstatements or mistakes. From Governor Moonbeam. Moonlight. It's pretty awesome. I tell you, you want some light reading. 140-year-old book. Wanted to share that. So thanks for your indulgence. We are on that order of business of Senate files on their first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33, introduced by Judiciary, Computer Extortion, an Act Relating...
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to offenses against computer property.
Senate File 33 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 32.
Senate File 32, introduced by Judiciary, Peace Officer Recordings.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public records.
Senate File 32 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 47.
Senate File 47, introduced by Appropriations, State Institution Revenue Accounts.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state institutions.
Senate File 47 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 49.
Senate File 49, introduced by Capital Financing, Investment Funds Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state investments.
Senate File 49 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9, introduced by Revenue, Certification of Cases to State Board of Equalization.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the State Board of Equalization.
Senate File 9 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next Senate file for our consideration is Number 23.
Senate File 23, introduced by Revenue, Fuel Tax Appeals.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to the State Board of Equalization.
Senate File 23 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 34.
Senate File 34, introduced by Education, Student Personal Digital Information Protection Act.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public education.
Senate File 34 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 35.
Senate File 35, introduced by Education, Virtual Education.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to virtual education provided by public K-12 schools.
Senate File 35 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, Game and Fish Licenses, Confidentiality.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 26, referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, State Archives Amendments.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to archives.
Senate File 27 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 14.
Senate File 14, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Inoperative Liquor Licenses.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to alcoholic beverages.
Senate File 14 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 15.
Senate File 15, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Special District Budget Requirements.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to special districts.
Senate File 15 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 40.
Senate File 40, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, Military Department Record Keeping.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Military Department.
Senate File 40 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 53.
Senate File 53, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, Veterans Hiring Preference.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to veterans.
Senate File 53 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 7.
Senate File 7, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, Bank Service Corporations.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to banks, banking, and finance.
Senate File 7 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 66.
Senate File 66, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Title 25 Payment Obligations, Federal Entities.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to the hospitalization of mentally ill persons.
Senate File 66, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 67.
Senate File 67, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Children Health Insurance Program Amendments.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Child Health Insurance Program.
Senate File 67 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29, introduced by Management Council, Legislative Employees.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the legislature.
Senate File 29 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 108.
Senate File 108, introduced by Management Council, Lawsuits Challenging State Legislative Acts.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to civil procedure.
Senate File 108 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. We have no standing committee reports. So we're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 36.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Pursuant to House Rule 7-3, I move to lay back House Bill 252 one day.
Objection, House Bill 252 is laid back one day. We are on House Bill 36. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 36, introduced by Management Council, Obsolete Laws, an act relating to the general revision of laws.
House Bill 36, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 41.
House Bill 41, prime sponsor, education, court-ordered placements, age restrictions, an act relating to education.
House Bill 41, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 55.
House Bill 55, introduced by Capital Finance, spending policy amendments to an act relating to public funds.
House Bill 55, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 79.
House Bill 79, introduced by Agriculture, State Funds Equity Investments Pool, an act relating to public funds.
House Bill 79, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. We are waiting on an amendment for House Bill 94. I would like to move House Bill 94 down to what is Bill number 15 on your list, which would be House Bill 270. I would like to move it right after House Bill 270, in between 270 and 271. So House Bill 94 is moved. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 183.
House Bill 183, introduced by Representative Burkhart, Security for On-Deposit Public Funds, an act relating to public funds.
House Bill 183, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 202.
House Bill 202, prime sponsor, Representative Lone, motor vehicle insurance penalties, an act relating to motor vehicle insurance.
House Bill 202, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 221.
House Bill 221, sponsored by Representative Burkhart, non-resident employee bonding requirements, an act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 221, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 222.
House Bill 222, sponsored by Representative Nicholas, background checks, access to federal tax information, an act relating to criminal background checks.
House Bill 222, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 227.
House Bill 227, sponsored by Representative Summers. Automatic renewal of consumer contracts, an act relating to consumer protections.
House Bill 227 has an amendment. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 227, and members, I ask for your favorable consideration. In our discussion yesterday, if you go to page 3, line 11, in committee we heard a small concern about the notification time period, and so I'm just stretching that out another 30 days. So this just simply deletes 60 days and inserts 90, so it's from 30 to 90 days. And, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions or call for the question.
Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number one, House Bill 227. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That amendment has been adopted. House Bill 227, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 230.
House Bill 230, sponsored by Representative Laux. Hemp farming, an act relating to food and drugs.
House Bill 230, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 241.
House Bill 241, sponsored by Representative Barlow. Background checks, interstate compacts, an act relating to criminal history records.
House Bill 241, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 254.
House Bill 254, sponsored by Representative Harshman. Public purpose investments, an act relating to state investments.
House Bill 254, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 270.
House Bill 270, sponsored by Representative Salazar. Wolf management, trophy game animal, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 270, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 94.
House Bill 94, sponsored by Judiciary. Criminal Justice Reform, an act relating to criminal justice.
We have an amendment. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do that it do so with a recommendation that this bill to what? Well, I said that wrong. I'll move House Bill, second reading amendment to House Bill 94 and ask for your favorable consideration. And be happy to present what this is. Folks, if you remember, this is the criminal justice reform bill. And there was a substitute bill that came in the Standing Committee of the Whole that kind of rearranged and modified the whole bill. In the original bill, there was language that allowed on a 301. A 301 is where a defendant comes in, and instead of pleading guilty, he takes a plea or a nolo contest is entered, and then the court defers accepting the sentence and then places that person on probation. So there's never a guilty plea entered in the record, and so basically if you comply with the terms of probation, then you never have the guilty plea on your record. And what that means is if you commit a misdemeanor or you're a youth and do a felony, if you follow the rules, complied by everything, then when you sign a form and says, have you ever been convicted of a misdemeanor or ever, you can say no, because with a 301, it goes away if you follow the probationary guidelines of the court. And in the original bill, and what this language does is takes it back to the original bill. Because currently in law, to get a 301, you have to have the absolute consent and agreement of the prosecutor. And what that has done, in my experience, on a fairly regular occasion, the court wants to grant a 301. He wants this person, this individual, to be able to go through probation, and if he does, not have a conviction. And the way the current law is, the prosecutor has to agree to it. And so the court's hands are tied. And it's dictated by the prosecutor. And so for whatever reason, the prosecutor just doesn't want to give it. And this allows the court, if he believes it's in the best interest of justice, the best interest of the defendant, and the best interest of the state, he can grant that 301 without the prosecutor concurring with it. And it was, like I say, it was in the original bill. It was agreed upon through the interim committee, and it was just pulled out at the last minute when they did the substitute bill. So I'm just sticking this back in. So I move for your favorable consideration.
Any other members for their first time? No members? No other members want to speak on this amendment? I'm seeing movement. I just wonder. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 94. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no. That has been second reading amendment number one to House Bill 94 has been adopted. House Bill 94, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 271.
House Bill 271, introduced by Representative Harshman, Game Bird Farms, Greater Sage Grouse, an act relating to game and fish.
There is an amendment. Representative Summers, Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, thank you. I would like to move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 271 and ask for your favorable consideration. So, members, this is goes back to the sage chicken raising bill, the sage chicken farm bill from yesterday. And so I wanted to add some sideboards to it. I'm not sure that the good bringer of the bill, I haven't really had a chance to talk to him about it. But basically what this does, and I'm not going to go through line by line, but I think if you look at line number one on my amendment, on the pink sheet, if you look at line number one, it says in any five-year period, one and then licensee basically can apply. So it's going to limit this to one applicant in a five-year period. And then it goes down, if you look on page 13 through 19 of my amendment, basically, if you look at the kind of the last of that line, the commission may reissue the certificate to another licensee for the remainder if it's revoked or not renewed or terminated, then the commission rate may reissue the certificate to another licensee. Currently, the certificate has to be issued annually, so that's not anything new. And then going on to line 21 of my amendment, is where I became really concerned about the number of eggs that could be harvested in a year, and so I'm reducing that from 250 to 100. And then you'll drop down to my next amendment, which is delete the 40 nests. So we had in the other one you could disturb 40 nests in what was really, it was called a single collection area. So that was an undefined area that could have been. That could have been an entire subpopulation of sage grouse. So basically what I did is said that you could disturb five nests and then basically in a five-mile radius of the first nest site located by the game bird farm licensee. And the reason The reason I chose 5 miles is it's not a magic number, but it's a little bit based on science. So when they talk about sage grouse and leks, and you go out 5 miles from a lek, you capture, I think it's something like 80% of the nesting birds from the lek are usually found within 5 miles of the radius. So I wanted to kind of reduce it down, and I probably if I had more time, I could have got down to kind of the lek deal. So I want to make sure we're really not removing more than 5 nests from basically a lek area. So I just wanted to narrow this up a little bit. So that's my intentions with this amendment. And I would stand for questions.
Anyone for the first time? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I'd move to divide this amendment. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, what I would like to do is lines 1 through 5 would be division number 1, lines 6 through 20, division number 2, lines 21 through 30, division number 3, and lines 31 through 39, division number 4.
One moment, Representative. We can stand at ease for just a moment, if you would. Okay, we have that straightened out. I'll repeat this for everyone if you didn't catch it. Division 1, lines 1 through 5. Division 2, lines 6 through 20. Division 3, lines 21 through 30. Division 4, line 31 through 39. Okay. Representative Lindholm, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And speaking, I'm going to start out with division number 1. So what you're looking at here is a pilot program. The good bringer of the amendment, my desk mate, is trying to make this whole thing a pilot program, which if this was a public aspect or a public program, I might agree that it would be suitable. Or if this wasn't something that hasn't been successful. This has been successful down in the state south of us. This is a private sector solution. This is for private sector game bird farms. So if we're going to have these game bird farms jump into this, why would we limit just down to one group how is that not government picking winners and losers once again? So I'd ask you to vote down division number one. I think that's just a simple aspect that's trying to create a pilot program. That's not what this legislation is about. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. I think, you know, let's just do the reality check on whether it's one or two. Because most of the game bird farms that we go and you hunt pheasants in this state, most of those purchase those birds from out of state. So there's literally, I think, two that would be interested in this and probably would pick one. But I don't, so it's not going to be five or ten. I mean, these are going to be, there's only two that I know of in the entire state. And so I think, I don't think it's necessary. And I think the department and the commission will figure that part out. I don't think we need to pick that here in this legislation. So some of this amendment I like, but I don't think Division One is necessary. Thank you.
Majority Whip Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, thank you. Yes, this is kind of like a pilot project, and I think we start out slowly. Obviously, in time, if this is successful, we can come back and make this a broader policy. We're determining policy here. If we wanted to just leave this to the good Department of Fish and Game, we could have done that. I think they have the authority to create some scientific research projects. So this probably, in fact, could have been done without any bill at all, maybe. But I still think we need to constrict it to starting out one to see how this works. We can always come back in and turn this into a full-blown program if there's success.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Question having been called, we're on Division 1 of Third Reading Amendment Number 1. I'm sorry, Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 271. All in favor say aye. All opposed, no.
No.
Division Number 1 has failed. We're on Division Number 2. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I like Division 2. I think this was actually part of what we talked about putting in the bill from the beginning, having a sunset time on this. And I think then it motivates everybody to kind of work this and see if it's actually going to work. And then in 5 years from now, what would that be, the 66th, I guess, will decide whether to continue this. So I don't have a problem with Division 2. Thank you.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, and I'll be honest on this one. It was kind of conforming language in a sense with the first piece. So I would just hope if we go forward with this one, which I still support. I support the concept that the good bringer of the bill had, and I worry we may have to clean it up, but I guess we can do that if we have to.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Question having been called, we're on Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
Division Number 2 has passed. We're on Division Number 3. Representative Summers, for your first time, or Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. So in Division 3, you're seeing a limitation on the number of eggs collected and the number of sites to be collected at. The Game and Fish has got broad authority. These are your max numbers. It doesn't have to be 40 nesting sites. It doesn't have to be 250 eggs. So by limiting this down even further, this is taking away more authority from our agency to do their job. So please reject this amendment and let our agency work with private industry in being successful in this.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, thank you. Once again, I think what we do is put sideboards on legislation, and this is simply putting sideboards on a program that is completely unproven. So, I am concerned about destroying nests of birds that are actually going to produce on the landscape. And so I think this just sets a little tighter sideboard. You know, I looked at the original verbiage. It's single collection area, undefined. We don't know what that means, and it just worries me. Who's going to? I know the good department's going to determine that, but I won't belabor it. But I still support this piece.
For your first time, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I just want to remind the body we're talking about a bird here that nearly was listed on the endangered species list. And I think this is a good level sideboard here for us to consider here. Yes, we give some authority to the department that handles this, but, you know, we're talking about a lot of potential eggs here, and I think that this is a good sideboard to make sure that we're not going out and above and creating a major mess for us in the future. So I am in support of this amendment as well.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I went home last weekend, and I looked at the snow that was about 3 foot deep. And, you know, I thought all the way there and back, you know, what was happening to the wildlife. In my area of the country is some of the best grouse places, and I'm thinking that we should start as slow as we can. I have seen this body in the past not trust the agency that we're talking about in small matters, and now we're talking about a very large matter where the energy industry in our area may be profoundly affected if the listing is changed. So I would suggest that we put the sideboard on. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm a little outside my comfort zone on this, but the issue I've got, I'm not sure I'm for it or against it, but if you look at the change in the number of eggs, it goes from 250 to 100, so it's a factor of 2.5. But when you look at the nest, goes from 40 to 5, that's a factor of 8. So that tells me that if they were going to reach the maximum eggs, they would have to be pulling more eggs out of each of those 5 nests. And I don't know if that's an important thing from a biological standpoint, but I assume there's some limit to how many eggs you dare to steal out of a hen's nest.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time? Mr. Speaker, the first time?
First time on this.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tim, first time on this Division 3, and appreciate the comments. But members, if you go back into the bill, it says no more than 250. And then this proposed amendment, of course, says 100. Well, what if the number is 110 set by our department? Or 150, or why don't we let the department and their experts set that? I think that's important. And then the amendment proposes, as a good chairman of committee number 3, revenue, we were just having a kumbaya moment here when he said it very well. I think you wouldn't go in and clean out a whole nest. You might take an egg from a nest and you would spread this across so you wouldn't chase off the hens, and so that's kind of the idea, I think, and that's what's been relayed to us. And then I think also the problem in Division 3 is this 5-mile radius piece. I think the game fish might want to make it a broader area, not a real tight area, to reduce these impacts. And so, but let's get back. I think, you know, there were some comments from the representative from the capital city about almost endangered. Let's be careful. We're still shooting 2,000 of these a year, right? We're still hunting this bird. I mean, the biggest impact on this bird is predators. I mean, it's blackbirds. We used to require our industry to put up hawk stands in areas where we'd drill, and then we found out, oh, the hawks are killing all the sage grouse, so that's a bad idea. We took that down. But it's, you know, it's blackbirds and it's the weather, and I think we had that testimony last night. And so I think give our agency the maximum flexibility to spread this out, and they'll figure out the best way to do this. And so I think this really, as a good bringer, the good bringer from the western part of the state. I think this is sideboards, but I think this is more, I think we have sideboards in a bill. I think this amendment is sideboards, really tall sideboards, searchlights, and maybe rocket launchers on top. I mean, this is a really, and I say that, we got to have a little laugh on a Friday morning on the crossover point. But so I urge your caution on amendments, division number three, and please vote against that. I think the bill is really sound without it. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Anyone for their second time? Question having been called, we are on division three of second reading amendment number one. All in favor say aye. All opposed, no.
No.
Division number three has failed. We're now on division number four. Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we need to vote down division number four. I'm looking at the sponsor, and as I was scrambling trying to figure out, when we defeated division number one, that kind of coincided with the changes that were done in division number four. And so if we do that, we're actually going, if you were to vote for division number four, you'd actually take away some of those directives on the rulemaking. So you'd be taking sideboards off. So please vote against division number four.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Question having been called, we are on division four of second reading amendment number one. All in favor say aye. All opposed, no.
No.
Division number four has failed. House Bill 271 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 275.
House Bill 275, sponsored by Representative Eklund, Driver's Licenses Revisions, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 275, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 276.
House Bill 276, sponsored by Representative Halverson, Recording, Legislative, and Other Meetings, an act relating to the legislature.
House Bill 276, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 288.
House Bill 288, sponsored by House Appropriations, Game and Fish Fees, an act relating to game and fish.
We have an amendment. Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have an amendment to House Bill 288, and essentially all this corrects or changes.
Representative Haley, just one little procedure thing. If you could just move second reading amendment number one to this.
Okay.
Go ahead, please.
I move the second reading of amendment number one to the bill 288.
Please proceed. Thank you. That was perfect. Thank you.
Okay. So what we've done is just raise each one of these resident licenses that you'll see by another dollar or two in some instances. The chairman of our committee and I talked about this, and we felt that the $1 raise really, after 10 years, wasn't accomplishing a lot. So our thought was that we'd raise it to the closest, I guess round it off to the like 45, 30, 20, rather than having this odd amount, 19s and 44s. It would also give the department a little more money to work with in their budget. Thank you.
Any members, any other members first time? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment. So one of the big selling points of this hike is the fact that we're not going to be raising on residents. Residents are going to continue on paying at the fee schedule that they're at. And while this doesn't look like huge raises or giant leaps, I mean, on page 6, line 20, it's dollar raise. Page 7, line 3, dollar raise. Page 7, line 1, dollar raise. Page 8, line 16, 32. Whoops. That's a big jump. So on and against the amendment, this is, I like the idea of this legislation, the direction we're headed, but I don't think that we should support raising on our residents as of right now for this agency. Thank you.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, part of what we were doing here when we raised these fees was recognizing that we've been cutting budgets across most of the executive branch, and the way the numbers fall out in this, it'll actually be about a $500,000 a year cut to game and to the department that actually gets the revenue from these licenses, and I think that is appropriate at this time. So on and against, thank you.
Any other members? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to divide this amendment. I'm sorry to have to do that, but if we go from line 1 to line 12, call that division 1, and then also division 1 would be lines 19 to lines 21. And then division 2 is line 13 or 12 to 18. In other words, the three bigger ones, which is goats and moose, I think it is, and sheep, I think. And we can treat these differently. And I'll take Division 1 and talk about that one first.
Okay, that's divisible. Your first time on Division 1.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the thing that I think we need to address here is that this is a number that never changes no matter what because it's based on a quantity, so much per animal. I was here in it was either 2007 or 2009 was the last time we changed these rates, you know, which would imply that, you know, if you assume a 2% annual inflation and you compound that, you come up with 20%. All of these are less than 20% by almost a factor of 3. Just, I'm not going to go through all of them, but if you go through number on page 7, line 3 is 28 to 29. That's far less than 20%, and the rest of them, page 7, line 3, well, that's what that one was, 7, line 3. Then you go to 7, line 9, that's a game bird, 18 to 20, that's obviously 10%, and, you know, I think we need to address the fact that these things lose value in real terms, but the people that manage these resources for us, their costs don't stay standard and stagnant every year. So I'd urge you support this division.
Any other members for their first time on Division One? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, before I went to law school, I got a business degree, and we studied all kinds of different things and the rationale and the formulas and consumer preferences, and then went to law school and forgot all of it. And I just simply am in favor of division number one just because I don't want to do higher math when I go and pay for my license. Just round it up.
For your first time, Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment, I am a round numbers guy too, and when I apply for these licenses and buy these tags, I always donate a dollar to Access Yes and $2 to Search and Rescue, and that makes it a nice even number. That $3 makes up that difference. Curious as to whether that anybody else does that and if that will hurt these donations to make that a nice even round number. So thank you.
Anyone else? First time on Division One? Representative Pownell.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Basically, I just have a question to the bringers of the amendment. Was there any thought on offsetting this raise on this side of the residents to lower the cost on the non-residents? Because I'm looking at the non-residents' fees, and they seem to go up extremely high. So I'm just curious if there was any thought to maybe balancing that out and moving those funds also. Thank you.
Anyone else? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the idea is we just raise it a dollar or two, and it's a nice even number. If that's the only reason why we're doing this, then let's not do this. That's a horrible idea. I mean, we're just trying to make a number look neat. We don't even know how much money we're going to bring in off of this. Bad idea. Vote no on Division One.
Just, again, a little caution on some of our ideas. We'll decide what are the best ideas. But let's sharpen that just a little bit. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I on and for the Division Number One amendment. And to answer the previous two speakers ago, was there any thought given to the disparity between the non-resident increases and the resident increases? Yes, there was. Did we deal with it in this amendment? No, we didn't. I will tell you, though, this sort of on this amendment, sort of not, but it usually what the department and the state, the policymakers, abide by is that 20-to-1 ratio. That seems to be kind of the sweet spot for how much higher the non-residents should and will pay compared to a resident license fee. So if you look at one of the of those categories in the bill, it's actually 24.5 times higher for non-resident elk. So, but we decided not to go there. We decided, for me, it was the intrinsic value of wildlife. Is it really, are we only willing to pay another dollar for a deer license? $1 raise in 10 years? For me, it's embarrassing and I'm ashamed. So we just thought that these prices needed to be raised. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you, and I'm not really on or for the amendment, but I want to speak a little bit to the philosophy I went in on the bill that we created. And it made out-of-state licenses much more expensive, but the programs were moving back out of the general fund into their own accounts. Are kind of those programs that benefit a wide range of society. And we thought at the very least, you know, those out-of-state folks don't pay taxes, so perhaps they should support to a vastly, you know, a large, large percentage of this should come from those folks to pay for these programs that are not really, really sportsmen's programs. They're endangered species and invasive species and communicable disease sorts of programs. So that was kind of the philosophy, I believe, in my mind, why we have this disparity between the out-of-state and the in-state. And thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against all the divisions and the bill, I want to move the focus away from the department to our resident subsistence hunters. Over the last 8-10 years, ever since the Great Recession, median family incomes have gone down. Other prices have gone up, such as for health insurance. The one thing I'm hearing from back home is, thank heaven they've left our resident fees alone. Let's not raise them $1. Let's not raise them $34. Let's wait a couple of years, let the economy catch up, let median family incomes get back up to where they're supposed to be, And let's give our resident hunters a break. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time on division number one? Okay, we're moving to second time. Second time before the sponsors. Any members for the second time before the sponsors? Okay, I don't see anyone. Is it Chairman Allen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So what we did with that bill is we raised the fees 92%, the non-residents are carrying 92% of the burden and the residents are only carrying 8% of the burden. You decide for yourself whether that's fair or not. But a little bit of pushback on the fact that the residents pay taxes. True, but guess what? The taxes don't go to support wildlife. It's the license fees that go to support wildlife. So I just think that this is a fairness thing. It's how much do we really value wildlife? We only value it enough to not raise it another dollar or two or three. I think that's, for me, that's a weak argument, especially when I see hunters lined up at the ATV dealers to pay $15,000 for a side-by-side. Thank you.
Chairman Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to reiterate the fact that there was a purpose in this bill. The purpose was to try to wean the department off of general funds. The other purpose, of course, is to, make it look sensible. I can remember way a long time ago in 1971, an elk license, it was a combination elk and deer license, and it was $5. It wasn't $4.71, or it wasn't $6. And the next time I got one, I think it was $10 or something. All these do is round them up to the nearest $5 so it makes us look intelligent. And this fee is not... confiscatory by any means. If you go deer hunting, the cheapest thing you've got in your outfit is your license. Even the tank of gas you filled up with costs twice as much as the license. So I would urge you to support this Division One.
Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. These raises, since the game and fish has been weaned off of the general fund, will help them run the department. And just as a little information, if you raise a resident fishing license or all the fishing licenses by a dollar, you generate far more revenue than some of these other licenses, the sheep or goat, when you raise them by 100, because we sell so many of them. And this is just it wasn't just to round it up to a dollar, and I appreciate the comments, but to generate a little more revenue in the time when the department's been cut off from the general fund, and just to help them along a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you. We are voting on Division Number 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, House Bill 288. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Division Number 1 to Second Reading Amendment Number 1, House Bill 288, has been adopted. We are now on Division Number 2. For your first time, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason I made this division, folks, was that the three that are in Division 2, which are encompassed between lines 12 and 18, these are sheep, goat, and moose licenses, and they're kind of looked at as being our premium license. And it just seems to me that any of these species, when you get one of these licenses, it really should mean more to you than 118, 124, 113. I think it just makes sense to recognize the value that we have in Wyoming to have these premier type resources available. And I don't think for sure anybody that would apply for one of these would say, well, it's 124, but if it's 150, I won't apply. These are kind of almost looked at as once-in-a-lifetime affairs. So I'm for that, but again, I'm saying there's a different meaning behind it, a different criteria. It's not as there's not as many licenses issued in this area, but certainly I think we've undervalued it from the standpoint of the intrinsic value of these three species.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for Division 2, same philosophy. I will tell you this, that these are coveted licenses. They're once in a lifetime, essentially, and those are premier species. We're really fortunate to have those three species in this state. It provides an opportunity or an alternative to going up north to the provinces to the north of us, where a moose hunt would cost starting at $15,000, and the licenses are commensurate. And same with the sheep. A bighorn sheep hunt in the province immediately to the north of this state, north of us, starts at $35,000. And so, you know, here we have this wonderful resource in our backyard, and if we're only willing to pay another $3 for that once-in-a-lifetime license, shame on us.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 2? Second time. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just very briefly, you know, these old prices we have that we're replacing with this bill was first instituted about either 10 years ago or 8 years ago. And when you set these fees and vote on this today, you have to look at this with the idea that who knows, they may not be changed for another 8 years or 10 years. So it's not just today's value, but it's going to go on. I urge you to support this amendment.
I think we have passed first time, so, and we have heard from both speakers on the second time. So now we're questions being called on division number 2 to second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 288. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all those in favor, please stand. Nobody move. This is going to be close. We're counting a second time. It was 31 on the first count. We're making sure. All those opposed, please stand. Less than 31. Has to be. Second reading, division number 2 to second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 288 has been adopted. House Bill 288 having been read two separate times, question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 9.
House Joint Resolution 9. Sponsored by Representative Winters, National Speech and Debate Education Day, a joint resolution recognizing National Speech and Debate Education Day.
House Joint Resolution 9 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We are on third reading consent list.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 260, House Bill 89, House Bill 60, excuse me, let's start over. House Bill 60, House Bill 89, House Bill 106, House Bill 195, House Bill 200, House Bill 231, House Bill 238, and House Bill 291.
Would any member like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Seeing none, I would ask that the reading clerk read the consent list bills through the enacting clause.
House Bill 60, sponsored by Capital Financing, State Investment Policy, an act relating to public funds, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 89, sponsored by Representative Pelkey, Judges of First Class Cities Retention Elections, an act relating to municipal judges of first class cities, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 106, sponsored by Representative Blackburn, Change in Party Affiliation, an act relating to elections, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 195, sponsored by Representative Wilson, Quebec One Transfer, an act relating to the Quebec One Missile Alert Facility, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 200, sponsored by Representative Hunt, Beef Checkoff Penalty Repeal, an act relating to the Beef Council, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 231, sponsored by Representative Laux, Firearm Possession, Allow Felons Antique Firearms, an act relating to firearms, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 238, sponsored by Representative Connolly, Nude Image of a Minor, Disseminated or Possessed by a Minor, an act relating to crime and offenses, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 291, introduced or sponsored by House Appropriations, Department of Health Facilities, an act relating to Department of Health Facilities, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd. Clausen, Clem, Connolly, Court, Crank, Dayton, Edwards, Eklund, Ayer, Flitner, Freeman, Furphy, Guru, Gray, Greer, Haley, Hallinan, Halverson, Henderson, Hunt, Jennings, Kinner, Kirkbride, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lone Excused, Laux, McGuire, Madden, McKim, Miller, Nicholas, Northrup, Obermuller, Olson, Paxton, Pelkey, Piperinen, Ponnell, Salazar, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Sweeney, Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zawanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote, 59 aye, 1 excused. As for House Bill 60, are there any changes? Jennings, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Halverson, aye, to no. Piperinen, aye, to no. McKim, aye, to no. Gray, aye, to no. Salazar, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 52 aye, 7 no, 1 excused. As for House Bill 89, are there any changes? Halverson, aye, to no. Crank, aye, to no. Clausen, aye, to no. Piperinen, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Burkhart, aye, to no. Baker, aye, to no. Steinmetz, aye, to no. McKim, aye, to no. Miller, aye, to no. Greer, aye, to no. Larson Lloyd, aye, to no. Brown, aye, to no. Laux, aye, to no. Speaker, aye, to no. Walters, aye, to no. Winters, aye, to no. Flitner, aye, to no. Nicholas, aye, to no. Olson, aye, to no. Henderson, aye, to no. Eklund, aye, to no. Sweeney, aye, to no. Allen, aye, to no. McGuire, aye, to no. Obermuller, aye, to no. Jennings, aye, to no. Ponell, aye, to no. Salazar, aye, to no. Ayer, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 29 aye, 30 no, 1 excused. As for House Bill 106, are there any changes? Flitner, aye, to no. Walters, aye, to no. Paxton, aye, to no. Lindholm, aye, to no. Bird, aye, to no. Bovey, aye, to no. Schwartz, aye, to no. Garou, aye, to no. Dayton, aye, to no. Connolly, aye, to no. Pelkey, aye, to no. Summers, aye, to no. Blake, aye, to no. Freeman, aye, to no. Haley, aye, to no. Zwanitzer, aye, to no. Northrop, aye, to no. Allen, aye, to no. Crank, aye, to no. Ponell, aye, to no. Barlow, aye, to no. Kirkbride, aye, to no. Larson Lloyd, aye, to no. Sweeney, aye, to no. Salazar, aye, to no. Mr. Speaker, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 34 aye, 25 no, 1 excused. As for House Bill 195, are there any changes? Jennings, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Piperinen, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused. As for House Bill 200, are there any changes? Clausen, aye, to no. Kirkbride, aye, to no. Walters, aye, to no. Zwanitzer, aye, to no. Bird, aye, to no. Sweeney, aye, to no. Henderson, aye, to no. Further changes? McGuire, aye, to no. Nicholas, aye, to no. Mr. Speaker, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 50 aye, 9 no, 1 excused. As for House Bill 231, are there any changes? Edwards, aye. Tano, Brown, aye. Tano, Piperinen, aye. Tano, further changes? Edwards, no to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. As for House Bill 238, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As for House Bill 291, are there any changes? Edwards, aye, to no. Halverson, aye, to no. Whiteman, aye, to no. Jennings, aye, to no. McKim, aye, to no. Gray, aye, to no. Salazar, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 52 aye, 7 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 60, 106, 195, 200, 231, 238, and 291 have passed the House. House Bill 89.
Mr. Speaker?
Excuse me. House Bill 89, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 89 has failed to pass the House. Representative Olson.
Mr. Speaker, I apologize, but I have a privilege over the floor.
Please proceed.
And I have the distinct honor of introducing my favorite constituent, the Mrs. Danielle Olson.
Welcome to the House. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading, final passage, our regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 116.
House Bill 116, prime sponsor, Representative Steinmetz, abortion amendments, enact relating to abortions. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 116, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. No. Bovee. No. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Bird? No. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. No. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. No. Edwards. Edwards, aye. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. No. Furphy. Aye. Garou. No. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone excused. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. McKim. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. No. Piperinen. Aye. Ponnell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. No. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Sweeney. No. Walters. No. Wilson. Aye. Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 48 aye, 11 no, 1 excused.
Having House Bill 116, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 116 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 182.
House Bill 182, prime sponsor is Representative Gray. Abortion, ultrasound information, an act relating to public health and safety. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have amendments. House, we are on the, we have two amendments. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 182 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I want to say I support the bill. But I also support having a bill that is clean, understandable, and doesn't leave ambiguities in it. So that's my effort with this amendment. In your box, you received a handout. It just says House Bill 182, Barlow H3 on it with my initials behind it. And it's A and B. And with the adoption of this amendment, that's what the bill would read. So I'll give you a moment to find that. Should be fairly close to where your amendment was in your box. Came out about an hour ago. But essentially, I'll just walk quickly through the amendment. You'll see on the top of page 2, I'm going from a medical emergency to medically indicated abortion. And what that does, ladies and gentlemen, and that takes care of the bottom of page 2, the top of page 3, because those would not be for that purpose. Also takes care of the bottom of page 3, the medical emergency, where we've got to start itemizing things. So folks, remember, this is, if it's medically needed, then this indicated, then this component of statute would not apply. And all I'm trying to do is say that piece. As we try to put lists into statute, we're always incomplete. We do it with the substance abuse. Think about the classifications of our controlled substances. Every year we come back with another substance we got to add to it, and actually we give authority to that official that deals with that in our that represents in legal terms to add things in the interim. So, folks, I don't think this list is complete today. In fact, I know it's complete today. There were several abnormalities I saw last weekend as I ultrasounded sheep. And ultrasounded, saw 1,400 fetuses, and I saw half a dozen different abnormalities that are not on this list. And we would not ask a doctor if there was indications otherwise through other testing that there was some abnormality going on. We would not require a doctor to tell somebody, you have to look at something that was going to be probably very heartbreaking to see. So that's my intent with that, is to just try to say, let's have some, give the physician some prerogative over this. The next thing you'll see in this is the orally in person. We already took out the 24 hours. So actually, I would say by orally in person, we're not allowing someone who's referring to do that over the phone or having a phone consultation. We want them to get this information as soon as possible. So I think removing that doesn't hurt. Actually, it helps. It gives more opportunity, more time for the potential patient to consider the ramifications. As we go further down through the bill, I'm just cleaning up some of the other things, kind of combining. You'll see that we talk about, within the bill, it talks about lines 10, 11, 12, talks about the dimensions, presence of external members, etc. Folks, that's all contained within the quality consistent of standard medical practice. Ultrasound is ultrasound. I have 5 ultrasounds. They can be different kinds and qualities, but in fact, we want to be real precise. They'd be B mode real time. We wouldn't have active. We'd say B mode real time because there are different active ultrasounds. There's M mode. There's other things, but we didn't do that. So if we're going to do it, let's get it tightened up. Let's just say consistent with medical quality, the standard of medical practice. So get to the bottom of page 2. I tried to tie that up with the medically indicated. Now let's get to page 3, and this is C in your current bill. It'll be B if this amendment were adopted, and it's B on your sheet. And the only thing I did with this, everything stays the same. I just said inserted, which may be included and any other consent required. Folks, we're talking about medical practice here. There's always consent required. This can, and all I'm saying is this can be considered as part of another another consent form, which will be part of any procedure anytime that somebody's doing that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think that what you see before you, and certainly the definition page on the back, the section 2 is still in the bill. I didn't add that to my handout, but everything that I think all the intent is here, I think it's cleaner. I think it does a better job of rounding out this bill, and I would ask for you to support the amendment and support the bill. Thank you very much.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move to divide the amendment, lines 1 and 2 being Division 1, and lines 3 through 33 being Division 2.
Okay, that is divisible, so we will go to our normal debate rules. We'll basically start over with Division 1. You want to speak on Division 1, Representative Clem?
Please, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the amendment and the opportunity to make this bill a little bit cleaner. However, this portion right here, in particular, changing it from a medical emergency to a medically indicated abortion gives me some heartburn. In particular, what we're talking about here is informed consent. Giving the person as much information as necessary to make a reasonable and responsible decision. And when we change this to medically indicated, you know, what does that mean? Does it mean that the doctor might feel that this might burden the patient's medical state, and thereby we're not going to, it's medically indicated that we're not going to offer this information? I just see that as some vague wiggle room, too broad for me, and so I would urge the body to vote no on Division Number 1. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Friends, I have the same views. I don't understand why we are not allowing difficult news, but allowing good news. A doctor's responsibility is to give all the news, regardless. I would encourage you to vote against this amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a hostile amendment, and it was said earlier that we want to be clean and we don't want to be ambiguous. This amendment is ambiguous, so it kind of goes against one of the first things that was said here. We list exceptions and exclusions, and we're very specific. So one exclusion is for medical emergencies, and medical emergency is defined in the bill to mean a pregnant woman's condition, which on the basis of a physician's good faith clinical judgment complicates her medical condition, that the immediate termination of her pregnancy is necessary to prevent her death or create a serious risk of causing her substantial and irreversible impairment of a major bodily function. We give a very specific definition in the bill. We're very specific. And this amendment takes that specificity away and puts it up in the air. We have other exclusions, actions undertaken to save the life or preserve the health of the unborn child, remove a dead unborn child, or remove an ectopic pregnancy. We are very, very specific in our exclusions, and this just opens it up and makes it ambiguous. This is a very hostile amendment, and I urge you to vote no.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to have a small pushback on a comment that was made earlier telling you about the responsibility of physicians to provide all news, not just good and bad. That may be true, but it's generally not legislatively mandated. And I think, frankly, again, this bill in general, I speak in support of this amendment and against the bill. And I think this this bill in general is an intrusion into an area where the legislature has absolutely no business. Anyone else for their first time on Division One? Chairman Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the way the division works, I think you better keep Division One, because if you don't, then we're going to divide up the rest of this, because it actually speaks to several other components in the bill. But medically indicated, I would respectfully say, includes medical emergency, and it includes all the things that are not included under medical emergency, which is the bottom of 2 and 3, and the other 500 things that you might find in a book of embryology. So medically indicated, I would say, is maybe it's too broad for some folks, but it is meaningful in the fact that the physician, in his professional capacity, is able to do that. This certainly would not apply, and I could have put more specific language, this does not apply to an elective abortion for the purposes of being elective. That's the point of it. The point of it, if it is an elective abortion, not medically indicated, then this section would be applicable. Thank you for your attention.
Any other members for their first time on Division One? Okay, we're moving a second time before the sponsor of the amendment. Any members for the second time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to go back, and I really do appreciate the good chairman's white paper in your box, if you haven't looked at this, to see how the amendment actually all is put together, and I like that. But it reads, with all of his amendment in here, it reads paragraph A on the white sheet that you've been provided, except in the case of a medical indicated abortion, the physician performing the abortion on the patient and the referring physician or designated by either the physician shall inform the patient of the opportunity to view an active ultrasound of the unborn child and hear the heartbeat. If the heartbeat is audible, the active ultrasound image, et cetera, et cetera. It goes down on paragraph B, the physician shall obtain a signed statement from the patient acknowledging that she was provided with the information specified in subsection A of this section, which may be included with any other consent required. And so how would you know if, how would this doctor know if it was a medically indicated abortion except there be an ultrasound first? I'm just trying to put this together in all practicality. And if we're allowing for this informed consent paper, or this consent paper saying that I have been informed that I have the right to see it, the ultrasound, and they sign it up front. So you go to the doctor's office, you have these papers, and one of the papers there is this informed consent paper saying that you have the right to see this. But then we're excluding that in the case that the doctor might feel that there's a medically indicated abortion. And how would you know that except you do the ultrasound first? I'm just having trouble piecing that together. However, it is pretty serious, and we put that in there when we talk about a medical emergency. And again, that is defined in the bill. We're talking about what that is. And so again, I just don't think in the practical aspect, I like what the bringer of the amendments the amendment has done. I just don't like this first division. And I think the medical emergency is more than sufficient and would ask you to vote no on Division 1. Thank you.
Any other members for their second time? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We heard testimony from about 100 people, and I listened to all the testimony, and we were keeping tally, and it was 2-1 in favor of the bill. Not only that, not once did this language come up in testimony. Not once did it come up in the committee conversations afterwards. This is a very defined piece of legislation. We define medical emergency. We define exclusions. And I think we need to keep it the way it is. Be specific. Don't make this ambiguous. In fact, I think the bringer of the amendment was absolutely correct at the start when he said we need to make good, clean legislation that's not ambiguous. And that's what the legislation currently is, and the amendment is antithetical to that. So I ask you to oppose this amendment.
Any other member for their second time for the sponsor? Sensing you're ready to vote, we are voting on division number one to third reading amendment number one to House Bill 182. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. And members on standing division, it's the members who are actually present. So first division to third reading amendment number one to House Bill 182 has failed. We are now on division number two for your first time. Any member for their first time on division number two? Representative Gray.
I believe division number two doesn't make sense now that we oppose division one. It would delete the language in the bill that defines the exclusions. So I would ask you to vote no. This would actually open up the bill now to any time. I believe if I got the division correctly, because it was one through three, and so all of the deletions now are part of that. So I would ask you to vote down division number two if I understand it correctly, unless we do some major modifications.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Actually, I think that the rest of them can stand on their own. And medically indicated, medical emergency, actually we restricted the number of times that the physician could make this this call. So I would argue that the bill is now tighter than with all the other stuff and less ambiguous. And I would urge you to support Division 2. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other members on division number two? First time, second time. We ready to vote. All question being called, we're voting on division number two, third reading amendment number one to House Bill 182. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed stand. Less than 34. Second, division number two to third reading amendment number one to House Bill 182 has been adopted. We have another amendment. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move
third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 182 and ask you for your favorable consideration. And, Mr. Speaker, I hope I do this right. We don't do this too frequently. But I'm going to move first for a technical correction under Rule 11-2 based on the amendment that we just passed. And that technical correction is to strike on line 4 the words orally and on lines 5 person, so that this amendment now conforms to what we just passed. Isn't that cool? Yeah, it does.
I think that works. I think the minority floor leader is correct.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. But I'd just like to thank our rules guru who found that for me very quickly. And so, again, what this technical amendment simply did is, because I had picked up the language that had been in the existing bill and we changed it slightly, we are just reflecting that change. So what this does is it adds in that the physician will also inform the patient about the risks and the complications of pregnancy. You know, as we just heard in the debate about the former amendment, I even copied down some language that this bill is about granting the patient informed consent so that she can make a reasonable decision. I'm against this bill. I really don't like us getting into the room with a doctor and his or her patient. I really don't think that that is our place. But if we are in that room and we are telling the doctor exactly what he or she is to do with a pregnant woman, let's make sure that we're thorough. This is about informed consent. We want to know about abortion. We also want to know about pregnancy. So let's be thorough. So on in favor of this amendment and against the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in opposition to the amendment, I don't know why you wouldn't put in there the risks of an abortion. There are major risks associated with the procedure, and that is not in there. So, and that's not part of this bill either. So there's a very interesting omission there. So I ask you to oppose this amendment.
Representative Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, on and against this amendment, I think a good doctor has already done this by this point.
Representative Guru.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The way I read the bill, those things that the previous speaker were just talking about are listed. And this is just a further clarification. And as someone else who spoke here earlier about this bill, just making sure that the patient is fully informed and fully informed of all the complications and parameters that are indicated by this procedure or not. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Salazar.
Mr. Speaker, I'm the one who made that statement that they should have all the information, including the risks of abortion, against this amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Any member for their first time? Moving on to our second time before the sponsor. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think our good vet said it best. He's with his previous amendment, trying to clean up some of the specificity and ambiguity, and he talked some about doing ultrasounds on sheep and all of the abnormalities he could find in sheep and being concerned about what was being listed and what wasn't being listed. This bill tells doctors something very specific that they have to do. This amendment tells them something else that they need to do that's very important. Is it complete? No. But in all honesty, I'm in favor of this amendment because it does include something very important that should be discussed, but against the bill because we should not be telling doctors what to do and what not to do. We should not be telling doctors that they must have a certain discussion and then have a signed affidavit that they did it. That is not our place. So again, on and in favor of this amendment, but against the bill.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 182. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 182 has failed. House Bill 182 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
No. Bovee.
Excused.
Excused. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
No.
No. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
No.
No. Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
Dayton. No. Edwards.
Aye.
Aye. Eklund.
Aye.
Aye. Ayer.
Aye.
Aye. Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
No. Furphy.
Aye.
Guru.
No.
No. Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone excused. Laux.
Aye.
Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller. Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar.
Aye.
Aye. Schwartz.
No.
No. Summers.
No.
No. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Aye. Sweeney. No. Walters.
No.
No. Wilson.
Aye.
Aye. Winters.
Aye.
Aye. Zwanitzer.
No.
No. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 41 aye, 17 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 182 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 182 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 197.
House Bill 197, Prime Sponsor, Representative Olson, Marijuana and THC Products Policy Reform Act, an act relating to controlled substances. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number one to, or third reading amendment number one to House Bill 197. This is a simple measure. I think the issue was raised the other day that in its current form, the law has a, or the bill has a 10-year look-back provision. In other words, if a fourth offense is committed within 10 years, that may be considered a felony. The good country lawyer, I think in an earlier discussion about this bill, raised the question of whether or not that would conflict with Wyoming's expungement laws. So I went ahead and offered an amendment to change 10 years to 5 years, and I would urge this body's consideration of this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I spent some time after first reading really looking into the statutes, and, you know, we got into the question of the 5-year look-back period versus the expungement. And I guess let me be clear on and against the amendment. I think it's weakening and unnecessary, and I'll explain that in a second. But the DUI look-back period is a 10-year look-back period, and actually it is not exempted under statute, as we discussed with expungement. In fact, maybe the good country lawyer would remember that in 2014 they removed that exemption. This legislature did. So what we're doing is no different than DUI. But what I'll... So set that aside. What I want you to realize is that right now, under state law, the look-back period is a lifetime. My bill is asking you to impose a 10-year look-back period. 10 years? A lifetime? I think that's a pretty darn good compromise. So while I don't think the amendment is Armageddon to the bill, what you need to consider is that I think the compromise is already built in, and it is. When we considered the 10-year look-back period, we were looking at a lifetime look-back period that is under current state law. So ask yourselves whether the 5-year look-back period is really necessary. I don't think it is. We're more than generous with 10 years. And so I'd ask you to oppose the amendment, keep the bill as is. It's strong as it is. It's a built compromise, and I don't think we need to weaken it anymore. Thank you.
Any other member? Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. My point I raised earlier was that in one of the things, I guess it was a big issue for me dealing with expungement. I'd seen misdemeanors cause a lot of havoc for people throughout their lifetime, their ability to get into the military. And so we worked hard on that, and we got a pretty solid piece of legislation there dealing with expungements. And my point was, when I got up, was that we need to make sure that we mesh our statutes together and our procedures together, and either you go into this particular statute and go ahead and match it up with the expungement, 5 years, which is what the bringer of this amendment decided to do. That's great. Or you go into the expungement statute and you go ahead and exempt it out so that we have consistency. It's easy to follow when people are working through these rules. That's what my comments were. Whether or not you feel 10 years for a look back is sufficient or 5 years, that's for this body to decide. I'll respect that decision either way. Simple fact is if we're saying that this is now a misdemeanor, I would suggest we go with the 5 years. That's my view. But I'll respect whatever the body does. I'm in favor of this amendment.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this amendment. I just want to put something else out there. The difference between 10 years and 5 years, what does that mean for someone that's in trouble with marijuana? That's most likely you're going to be someone in your teens to your 20s. And the difference between where you were at, for me, example, I'm 33 years old. So when I was 23, I can promise you I was up to much different things than sitting on the floor of House of Representatives for the state of Wyoming. So keep that into consideration. A 10-year look back is a huge, that is a really long period. I'm in favor of the amendment. Keep it at 5.
Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, and I'm still wavering on the bill, even though it's still a step in the right direction. And, you know, we don't go back 10 years for some of our violent crimes. So why would we hear where we have a victimless crime go back 10 years? So I'm gonna support this amendment.
Anyone else first time? Moving to second time. Second time. Any members of second time before the sponsor? Sponsor, Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I just urge the body consider that this is essentially a cleanup measure. My good former chairman of the Judiciary Committee pointed out that there are some very violent offenses that have a 5-year look-back provision. This is generally a nonviolent and victimless crime, and I would urge the body to consider 5 as opposed to 10.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 197. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 has passed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Less than 40. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 197 has been adopted. House Bill 197, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovey. Excused. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Byrd. No. No. Clausen.
No.
No. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Aye. Edwards.
Aye.
Aye. Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Aye. Flitner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
Aye.
Aye. Giroux.
Aye.
Aye. Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone excused. Laux.
Aye.
Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Byrd, no to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 52 aye, 6 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 197, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 197 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 225.
House Bill 225, Prime Sponsor Representative Harshman, Select Committee on Education Funding, an act relating to education, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 225 has an amendment. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment 3, or Amendment Number 1 to the third reading on House Bill 225, and I'll explain why. There's been quite a bit of discussion this morning about sideboards on various bills. This bill actually removes some sideboards. This is an amendment to line 4 of page 4 on the bill. And it says that, and the constitutionally required 1.5% diversion of mineral severance taxes to the permanent mineral trust fund should also be included in the deliberations of this committee. And I think that this was a serious omission for that not to be included. If you'll look on the handout that I have passed out on House Bill 225, it shows the amount of money that has been put into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund for the last 5 years. And this is from the Treasurer's report on the year. And you'll see that the average amount of money that has been put into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund is $199.16 million. And we must put this amount out of reach when we are having to, why are we having to put this amount out of reach when we are having to reduce the services available via the general fund and the school foundation fund. There is little likelihood that we can cut the budget enough to balance it, and there is less likelihood that we can raise taxes enough to accomplish it either. And we shouldn't even try to tax our sour economy enough to do it. The last thing that should be done in an economic downturn is to raise taxes. And the next to last thing to do is to put money away into a permanent trust fund. Both things reduce the money available to keep us out of poverty. The people of Wyoming, in my opinion, should be given the opportunity to decide if they want more taxes and less services, or if they want to stop adding to savings. They would be able to do this by a vote on a constitutional amendment on whether to stop adding to the Wyoming Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, or if they want to continue to add to it. Notice I say add to it, as I believe there is not good reason for withdrawing from it. Keep it inviolate. An analogy to our situation is a family that has insufficient money for food, but puts money aside for a college fund for their son. They may starve before he makes it through high school. And that's my opinion on that issue. And I welcome any questions that anybody may have for me.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, thank you. On and against the amendment. One, this is constitutionally created, and we would have to go back into the Constitution. And we heard a bill similar to this in our good committee number two, and we voted it down. And really what you need to think about is okay, we can have this conversation with the statutory 1%, but this constitutional piece is really something that kind of attempts to at least a little bit inflation-proof our permanent mineral trust fund, so the incomes we get off of that permanent mineral trust fund remains consistent. That's revenue, too. That's revenue that we can expend as well. And so I think it's really important that we retain that constitutional piece of the severance tax in the permanent mineral trust fund to just try to keep inflation-proofing that so we retain that income off of the permanent mineral trust fund. Once again, on and against this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm actually on and in for this amendment. I think if we're going to have a big super committee that's going to look, if you look at those four areas on there, and since the amendment I tried to bring yesterday, three of those target areas are talking about different revenue or raising taxes. One of them talks about savings. And so we have this constitutional 1.5% that goes into the permanent mineral trust fund. And I'm not, I don't want to get rid of that thing, especially forever. However, if we're putting a bunch of money in the savings year after year after year, and yet we're going to also talk about raising taxes at the same time. So on one hand, we're putting away in savings, and on the other hand, we're going to raise taxes. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I think if they're going to have this discussion in the super committee, and they're going to talk about all of these different things, they're going to talk about savings, utilizing savings, and they're going to talk about different revenue streams. And again, if you look at that thing, let's look at it here. So let's see here. The potential, number one, the potential for reductions in education spending. So one, reduction, okay, the reductions. Two, options for use of existing funds. Three, consideration of diversities of existing revenue stream or in investment income, and then options to increase revenues. And I would submit to you that points 2, 3, and 4 all talk about money, using money, other streams of money. And only one talks about actually reductions. But I would submit to you, if they're going to talk about using existing funds, then let's talk about that 1.5% that we put away in savings year after year. So on and for the amendment.
Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this idea, which would require a constitutional amendment passed by our voters, I think is already in the bill about existing revenue streams. But let's just make sure I couldn't find the good bringer of the amendments handout, but I think the minority floor leader and I both have circulated the same handout, and I just grabbed mine out of the, just to show the flows and what we're really, what we're talking about, so you can see that, but I just want to give you the numbers of that. So what is the 1.5% constitutional that's in our, passed in our constitution in 1974? And really it's all, we always think of coal, oil, and gas because they're the biggest one, but really we tax 1.5% severance on every mineral from gravel, uranium, everything. Okay, so that's what all flows into this. And but let's talk about the two big ones out there. So this, the total severance tax on oil and gas is 6%. And so 1.5% of that is constitutional, right? We can't, you know, we've raised and lowered the severance tax on oil and gas stripper wells. We had it down a real small percent for a while to kind of incentivize completion of those wells. And so that has moved throughout time with the legislature, that statutory percent. So 1.5% currently of the current 6% on oil and gas. That means we save, for this, the severance of these minerals when they're gone forever, we save 25%. So the other 75% we spend every year. Okay, so it's not like we're saving it all. We're spending 75% of the oil and gas severance. And then when you go to coal, the current severance is 7%. You know, the coal severance was one time up in 8, 9, 10 when we were trying to build that community in the northeast more of an economic impact. I remember that town, I'm sure the doctor was, when it was a one-road town with cattle guards going in and out. And but the 1.5% of the current 7% on coal, that's only 21%. That's 21%. So we're spending 79% of the severance on coal every year. We're spending it for the operation of government. So what's the proper balance? And do we want to then say, it's interesting to me that this isn't brought really for the common school account, you know, and that's another constitutional account. And so I think this is all going to be about our discipline. And it's tough. None of these choices are easy, you know. If we divert current federal mineral royalty flows and say, hey, more than two-thirds is going to the schools or over the cap or under the cap, that means that pie that is this big is getting sliced differently. That's a hard thing. So those are going to be some of the discussions. But I think also this is really a hard discussion because do we have the discipline to save 25% of those severed minerals and 21% of that severed coal? I hope we keep that discipline. When I came in the legislature, you know, this Permanent Trust Fund spun off $50 million a year in revenue for our general fund. 2 years ago, $500 million. And so I think the discipline we've maintained, I think, is really important. And I think, and I understand, I appreciate all those arguments, but I don't want to look for, I think if this goes into a super committee, it means we haven't been able to reach a solution here this session. And I would hope it would force us to kind of really take a look at all those. So I think this in my mind is violates that discipline. I think it's off limits. And I think it's a great discussion. I appreciate the good representative from Campbell County bringing it. But I'm not ready to go there yet. So thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, I don't like going after this 1.5% that goes to our permanent mineral trust fund, but I'm going to support the amendment. And, you know, the taxes here, severance taxes, are on the mineral industry because the concept is that we're severing this one-time resource from the lands of Wyoming. That's great, but that's the industry I work in, and frankly, we're never going to run out of minerals that we can tax. So, you know, I can support diverting this tax with a sunset date that it goes back automatically instead of raising people's taxes and fees. I just can't raise the folks back home taxes at this point in time. Until we've addressed every way to use the resources that we have now. So on and for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the comments of the majority leader were those that represent my point of view as well. I think that we're talking about giving this committee the option to look at this possibility of taking some of these monies that are being put into the permanent mineral trust fund and made unavailable for any other government purpose. And I think also that we can put sideboards on this bill by putting a limitation of the amount of duration that this constitutional amendment would take place. And therefore, I think that we need to look at this issue and have this committee look at this issue and also incorporate that into their thinking. And I think that the bill as written does not represent that this would happen. So that's why the amendment is being brought forward, and I urge your favorable consideration of it. Thank you.
We're on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 225. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 225 has failed to pass. Division having been called, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. I'm a no. As I said, amendment fails. House Bill 225, having received the House Bill 225, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee. Excused. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
No.
No. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
Aye.
Aye. Guru.
Aye.
Aye. Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone excused. Laux.
No.
No. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
No. Miller.
Aye.
Aye. Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Oh, aye.
Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote, are there any changes? Byrd, no to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 225, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 225 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Larson.
May I have privilege to the floor?
Please proceed.
Members of the House, I'd like to introduce in the back of the fishbowl a good city councilman from the land of tigers, who is also a pastor of the Methodist Church, but more importantly, is a judge and past participant of Dancing with the Stars to raise money for those folks in our communities that have developmental disabilities. Mr. Mark Calhoun. Mark, if you'd stand.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 250.
House Bill 250, prime sponsor, Representative Wilson, Public Health Statutory Amendments, an act relating to public health, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Everyone has an amendment except me. Now I have it. Thank you. We have an amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 250, and I'll remove it at the proper time. Members of the 64th, this isn't about the content of this legislation, whether you agree or disagree on it. But more specifically, part of my concerns have to do with a number of what I deem pieces of legislation should be separate bills within this bill. In each one of your boxes, it's not quite as colorful as mine, but I had these handed out that kind of label out exactly what I'm looking at. So if we could all turn to that, and specifically why I'm bringing this up is because of Article 3, Section 24, bill to contain only one subject which shall be expressed in title. So let's go over that real quick. No bill except general appropriation bills and bills for codification and general revision of the laws shall be passed containing more than one subject. Okay. So I believe that the bringer of this legislation's their intent is a general revision of the law. However, I think that it goes off course a little bit. I think it's more than just general provisions, is my opinion. So if you'll look on page 2, lines 4 through 17, and page 3, lines 10 through 14, those are kind of your general, you got a general penalty for Title 35. And then on page 3, lines 10 through 14, you got enforcement of Title 35. I think those go together. And then if you go to the very last page, on page 8, line 11, that's your first repealer, and that repeals the general penalty for Title 35. So I think that's one bill, is my opinion. Now, this is just my opinion. If you go to page 4, line 19, penalty for false reporting of records increased. Page 4, line 19, I think that's a separate bill. Then on page 5, lines 1 through 3, specifies who is to take a blood test of a woman treated for conditions of pregnancy. That's for syphilis. I think that's a separate bill. I think that one's pretty up front. Page 5, lines 22 through 23, and page 6, lines 1 through 14, that amends the penalty for selling body parts and modifies elements of the offense. So that's a separate bill, but that also goes with the other repealer. If you turn to page 8 and go to line 11, that's your second repealer right there. That repeals the offense for selling or giving away viable aborted child. So I think that goes with that portion. I think that's a second. I think that's another bill, in my opinion. And then page 7, specify on lines 5 through 14, specify the info to be included for abortion and provides penalty. I think that's a separate bill, but that also goes with page 8, lines 2 through 5, modifies provisions related to compilation of abortion information. I think that goes with the other one. So members of the 64th, this is a policy decision. This is what I want to have the discussion about, not on the basis of what's going on inside of this piece of legislation, But more along the lines is, does this violate our Constitution on our single subject aspect? And that's where I want the discussion to be. It's not not an intent to kill this piece of legislation, but the intensive purpose of bringing this up is we need to have this. Because we do look at multiple pieces of legislation. We've got an omnibus education bill that looks specifically at school finance. That goes over quite a bit of stuff. It's all school finance, though. So I guess in comparison, this would be kind of like that, except it also tells you how to change the tire on the school bus. So it's a little bit different. I just open that for comments. Thanks.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and for the bill, and of course everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but in my opinion, we pass a lot of cleanup bills. Just this very year, we have one from the Department of Family Services, Statutory Amendments is the title, and in that one, we will be amending statutes and programs, amending registry requirements, abolishing the Skills Training Center pilot program, making the operation of a financial aid program contingent, amending the low-income home energy assistance program, amending eligibility verification, and so on. Last year, we passed a bill amending the duties of an office, amending licensing provisions, amending licensing fees, amending the newborn metabolic screening program, repealing an advisory council, repealing provisions related to the regulation of clinical laboratories. And, of course, this morning we looked at obsolete bills that in one bill had Y2K and workforce services. So certainly we have had when the title includes something that's broad, it does look broader than just nuts and bolts of one specific thing. Looking at the title, it says Public Health Statutory Amendments. And line one, an act relating to public health. If you look at, well, you don't have it in your bill because we're not altering that, but 351105, which is section B, is the first thing in the bill. Section A says, prohibited acts. No person, corporation, or other organization shall willfully violate, disobey, or disregard the provisions of the public health laws of Wyoming. So, to my mind, colleagues, this is a coherent set of public health laws. The bill addresses who shall comply with them, how they shall comply with them, and the penalties for noncompliance. And to my mind, that is one topic, and I urge your vote against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the bill, this is a very good bill, and I'll leave it at that. Please vote for it.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that we, in support of what my good colleague who sits just in front of me just remarked, we've been doing this since I've been in the legislature, having cleanup bills with a number of different subjects in there. Now, I think it's a fair question to ask if this is a policy change that we want to make. I think that that is indeed a conversation that can be had, but it shouldn't be midway through the stream. Now, if we're going to have that correction, it should apply to all bills this session, and it probably should have come out from management council or leadership saying that this is something that we need to tighten up in the bills that are drafted. But to select one bill that's being presented by an individual and saying it doesn't comply, therefore ought to be booted out, is, I think, inappropriate and is far from equitable about the way we've treated these sorts of bills over the last number of years, or at least while I've been in the legislature. Now, the comment is to say that this amendment is really nothing to do with the bill, but indeed it is. It would kill the bill if it's passed, and so I would urge us to let the bill move forward and have a vote on it. It certainly isn't any more out of line than the five bills that I counted last year and two or three that we've got this year. So I just encourage you to defeat the amendment and support the bill.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the amendment against the bill, I guess I should first state that I think the draft of the bill actually was pretty brilliant in how this goes about, because the argument against the bill from the good, my vice chair of corporations, I actually think she did it right. I mean, everything's contained in 35. I would say it is appropriate. I would also say, though, traditionally these type of bills that are cleanups, you know, the word we keep using, or statutory conforming, they come from interim committees where a committee goes and, you know, updates the law on, well, the committee's volition, and that's how we do these. I would submit to you this is a bill that has a couple specific purposes, and because we didn't want the title or the content of the bill to be about the three specific purposes, we went a couple other places in statutes and added some words and some fines and up some things that, you know, are probably all good, but they weren't necessitated. We used to have a good representative in this body that would change two words in a statute and bring a bill, and he was the most effective legislator one year for bringing 10 bills that were all good bills. They just weren't needed, because we all know, if you look through any of our statutes, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be updated, and we just can't do it all in any given year. So when we open up a new title or a new section, we kind of clean everything up. I think the bill meets the constitutionality. I would also say that some of the stuff was done to make this bill not titled something else, and you get a nice title like Public Health Statutory Amendments. But really the bill does a couple specific things. The rest we could have dealt with many, many over the next 10 years, unless I hear a different argument that there's something in the first four pages of this bill that is a necessity and why we have to do it this year. I would still be against the bill. On the similar sentiment, but not the actual argument, that there's more going on in this bill than a simple statutory cleanup.
Okay, any members, anyone else for their first time? Moving to our second time, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And to the good chairman of corporations' point, a lot of times these are bills that are brought to an interim by a committee, but again, show me the rules that says that an individual can't do it. And if the rule is there, we've had direction indicating that, so be it. But we don't, and if that's something we want to do after this session moving forward, very good. We'll line up, salute, and move that direction. But until then, let the bill move forward as it's designed.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really wasn't going to answer, but I guess I couldn't resist having just sat on a committee that brought out the cleanup for Y2K, which, of course, was 16 years ago now. And we certainly all heartily apologize for having been so dilatory in cleaning things up. But sometimes you just clean up when you get around to it.
Anyone else before the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker, and I'd like to thank the 64th for that good conversation. You know, it's it is a policy question, and perhaps maybe we should look at this at the end of the end of everything. But I would state that my opinion is that if we're going to have these general cleanup bills, then that's fine and that's good, and I don't care if they come from a committee or an individual. It doesn't bother me either way. But to state where we go from a policy of no mandatory minimums in this to inserting a mandatory minimum is a very big policy change. So I think there's a difference there. Anyways, I'll withdraw third reading amendment number one to House Bill 250, and we can vote.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 250 has been withdrawn. House Bill 250 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Bovey. Excused. Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
Aye.
Guru. No. Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. No. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm. No. Lone excused. Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Aye. Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 43 aye, 15 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 250, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 250 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 262.
Let her read. House Bill 262, Prime Sponsor, Representative Harshman. Penitentiary Savings Fund, an act relating to the Wyoming State Penitentiary, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to House Rule 7-3, I ask that House Bill 262 be laid back one day.
Absent objection to the House Rule 7.3.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to object.
There's been an objection to House Rule 7-3. So the rule states that the objection has to be sustained by a majority of the members present. So the chief clerk will have to call the roll on the objection made by Representative Walters. So an aye vote is to hear the bill. A no vote is to lay the bill back one day. One more time, an aye vote is to hear the bill, and a no vote is to lay the bill back one day. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
No.
No. Biteman.
No.
No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovey. Excused. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
No.
No. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Aye. Edwards.
No.
Edwards, no. Eklund.
Aye.
Aye. Ayer.
Aye.
Aye. Flitner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
Aye.
Aye. Guru.
Aye.
Aye. Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Aye. Haley.
Aye.
Aye. Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
Aye.
Aye. Hunt.
Aye.
Aye. Jennings.
Aye.
No. Kinner.
Aye.
Aye. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Dan.
No.
No. Lindholm.
No.
No. Lone excused. Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
Aye.
Aye. McKim.
No.
No. Miller.
Aye.
Aye. Nicholas.
Aye.
Aye. Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Aye. Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
Aye.
Aye. Piperinen.
No.
No. Pawnell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar. No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz. No. Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote, are there any changes? Brown? Aye to no. Further changes? Laux? No to aye. Baker? Aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote? The vote is closed. 40 aye, 18 no, 2 excused.
The objection having been sustained by the majority of those present, we are back on House Bill 262. There are two amendments.
Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move at this time third reading amendment number one to House Bill 262 and ask your favorable consideration. Members, this was just brought to me by our LSO staff as a cleanup to change the word project to projects. They told me it was necessary. That's why I'm bringing it.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time?
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, first time, please.
Yes, Chairman Barlow, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Maybe it's a cleanup, but I guess my question would be about the cleanup is, do we have an account, and now we're going to call that this account investments and projects account, and recall that this is actually creating a compartment within this account. So my question is, how many other compartments already exist within the account? Is this the first of many? Or just some feedback on that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Minority Floor Leader Conley? No. Okay. Anyone else for their first time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, first for a second.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just to answer the good Chairman of Labor, if you look on the handout that myself and the Minority Floor Leader provided, and if you look at the bottom where it says it's a Strategic Investments and Projects account, that's the name of the account. I think the bill references it as the Strategic Investment Project account. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Question having been called. All in favor of 30 reading amendment number one to House Bill 262, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. One moment, please. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to stand at ease for a moment waiting for an amendment to come out. Yes, if you want to run down the hall, you probably have time. Mr.
Speaker Pro Tem, how long do you expect this break to be? Because we could go ahead and stand it in recess until, say, 12:40 for a lunch break.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, one moment, please.
That's lunch.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I recommend we stand at ease till 12:30. That'll be our lunch break.
Okay, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move the House stand at recess until 12:30.
Okay, You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Okay, we're in recess till 12:30.
Mr. Announcements.
Mr. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Wyoming Arts Alliance is having a luncheon today, starting now until 1, at the First Congressional Church at 3501 Forest Avenue, and they'd like members of the body to join them if possible. Be fast.
You've heard the announcement, and yes, be fast. Watch the ice in the parking lot.
Are we doing committee announcements? Nope. People already gone. Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Just a moment, please. Chairman Zwanitzer, sorry I missed you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought we might do committee announcements, and I have the honor of announcing
please.
The Corporations Committee is going to take Monday off. Since we worked 11 bills yesterday, if you're on corporations, enjoy your lunch Monday.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee, Education Number 4, will meet at 10 minutes after we get lunch, so at like 12:20. Thank you.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee Number 6, Travel, will meet Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning to consider two bills, Senate File 25 and Senate File 24.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Monday morning, 8 a.m. We'll hear three Senate files, banking revisions, radioactive waste storage facility amendments, and bank service corporations.
Are there any other committee announcements? Okay, we're in recess till 12:30.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, that First Congressional Church is right next behind us where we park.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.